The men who are presenting will come on down to the front. We'll start with Jerry and just go down the line here and make the transition as quickly as we can. Knowing what Alan said, we all wrote out our speeches so that we could try to keep them under 30 minutes. Some of us did not succeed. The writer of Proverbs warned us long ago, "Boast not thyself for the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If ever there was a year to confirm the truth of Proverbs 27:1, it would be 2020. I've been going to church for 74 years, and never would I have imagined I would hear an elder say, "Don't come to church," much less being that elder. But it happened in 2020. 2020 was a year of many firsts. Our first live streaming of our service, our first virtual classes, our first congregation-wide communion sets instead of passing the trays, our first collection by the door instead of passing the collection plate. I want to give a special thanks to Andy Harrison and Jeff Ellis. It was through their many hours of hard work and that made our live streamed broadcast possible. From those early stages where the services was conducted by only a handful of people in a more or less empty auditorium to the very polished, professional-looking presentation we have now was no small feat. These men and their helpers have made that possible. 2020 could have been a year when we as a church could have basically shut down, claiming it was too dangerous to get out and continue the works that we had been engaged in for so long. When it was true, we could not continue to do the things the same ways we had been. We found different ways and even added new, different works. We want to commend you for all you have accomplished in 2020. You have done great things by knowing the spiritual plan, the scriptural plan, seeing the need, and then answering the call. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Galatians 6:10 tells us to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. In James 2, we learn that faith without works is dead, and we should show our faith by our works. In Matthew 28:19-20 tells us to go into all the world and teach the gospel. Under the capable leadership of Greg Vandiver, with his hearty band of helpers, our church garden produced abundantly, and we were able to share the bounty among ourselves as well as taking fresh produce to many who were shut in. Because of the success of our garden, when we were made aware of a congregation of our brothers and sisters who were literally starving, you collected enough money to purchase for them a large plot of land where they could till, plant, and feed themselves. In so doing, we lived up to Proverbs 28:19 that says, "He who tills his land will have plenty." And Ephesians 4:28, "But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." In this very strange year, we saw doors open to us in formerly godless communist countries, and we were able to send hundreds of Bibles to China and build an evangelistic building and school in Vietnam. In addition, we were able to send a shipment of songbooks to Nigeria, as well as fully support a man and his family as they do evangelistic work in Malawi. So seeing what we accomplished in the tumultuous year of 2020, I'm really looking forward to see what we can get done in 2021. Here.
Another inspiring work you all are involved with concerns the taking care of children and those less fortunate. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 says, "Command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Verse 18, "Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." It's my understanding that for several years, the Grant Street congregation did 100 blessing bags for Christmas time. When we became a united family, you all were challenged to purchase food that could be given to 200 families at two schools, West Decatur and Banks Cadell. Each blessing bag was sufficient to feed four people, so that effort reached a potential of 800 people. This year in particular, with people losing jobs or income due to problems associated with COVID, it was especially important blessing. Some would have been without on Christmas had you not helped. Also, with each bag, the family received a nice Bible purchased from the World Bible School. Church info was included in each bag with our ultimate goal of God receiving the glory. Another good work involving children is what we call the school snack bags. Until COVID hit last year, we were preparing and giving 18 bags a week for young children to take home on weekends so they would have food to eat. Dole Rochester and Elizabeth Michael are instrumental in making this happen. Our young people have been involved in packing these bags. We are again involved in this work this school year. Each bag includes snacks and some easy-to-prepare meal so kids don't go hungry over a weekend away from school. Another work you all assisted in this past holiday season was prisoner necessities. You bought toothpaste, toothbrushes, and other items for those incarcerated. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." This is another way for God to get the glory. And hopefully the prisoners will study, and when an opportunity arises, they will follow God's will. It encourages me greatly to see our family doing so much for children, for those less fortunate, and I hope you're encouraged also. If you haven't been involved in any of these areas, I would urge you to think about being involved. We are so blessed as a family, and these are some of the ways we can give back.
The chorus of the Christmas song, "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen," has a line, "O tidings of comfort and joy." And this past holiday season, even despite all the challenges that we faced with COVID, we helped spread some happiness and some comfort and some joy to many within our own Decatur family and within our community. Romans 13:7, Paul states, "Render therefore to all their due." And at the end of that, he says, "Honor to whom honor." Our community first responders are often away for the holidays, serving us, helping protect us. They're away from their families, while we get to enjoy our time with our families, and they are due as much honor as we can bestow upon them. And the same could be said of those serving in the military at that time. We had a Thanksgiving Day breakfast that we prepared for over 150 members of the fire department, city police, and county sheriff's department. Thanks go out to Tyler Ann Betterton and to Tanya Ramos for the coordinations that they made leading up to that, and to Dan and Marilyn for going and getting the food and prepping the bags, and for all those that showed up very early in the morning to take those to the various departments. We appreciate all of that, and I'm sure that they did as well. Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And then in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, with comfort who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." In December, we held three events. The first two of those were on the same day, and those events were in connection with the Christmas holidays. We had our breakfast with Santa for our kids and grandkids to come, and we were able to have them visit with Santa on that. And also, we had the group home drive-through Christmas. And as you know, many of these in the group home, these residents are all special needs adults. And the joy that you see on their faces, the excitement you see on the children's faces as they get to visit with Santa, is just, there's no other great feeling than that. We had over 25 children come to our breakfast, and we had over 100 residents of the group homes come through and have their picture made with Santa and get a little gift. I want to thank Dan and Marilyn and Aretha Powers for their efforts with the breakfast, for Will, Rachel, Emma, Emily, and Honesty for being Santa's helpers throughout the day, and a special thank you to Tony Morgan, because if it wasn't for his connection with Santa, we wouldn't have made that day possible. So we really appreciate him getting Santa here for that day. The third event was Christmas caroling, and that was organized by Alan. And two groups went out to over 15 members' homes that we haven't been able to see in a while because of COVID, and sang Christmas carols to them on their lawn. And Alan, we appreciate you organizing that and all the people that went out and were part of those two groups. When we look back at 2020, probably most likely the negative things that happened during that year are going to come to our memory first. But I hope that you will remember some of the things that we are saying here today, that we were able to accomplish, the positive things, the positive impact that we were able to make upon so many people in their lives in such a difficult year. And I pray that those will come to your mind first, and those will be the ones that you will most cherish for this past year.
In some of the last words that would be penned in the Bible, the Apostle John, who is a very old man by the time he wrote it, said in 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." And then in some of the last words that Paul might have been able to speak to the Ephesian elders, it would be recorded in Acts 20:35 that he said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." One of the ways that you demonstrated that this year is by our fruit basket delivery. About 55 baskets were delivered to about 100 people. All of you were involved in some way in that because of the collective purchase of the fruits. But a special thanks need to go to all of those who helped to assemble the basket and then who delivered them over the course of that week. We have another ministry that it's almost a secret ministry. It's secret in the sense that we don't have a list of the people involved or who's in charge of it. But there's very few people who don't know about it, who haven't benefited from it. Just judging from its impact on me and our family, I think there's probably at least a couple of dozen people who are regularly involved in the sending of cards. And there's probably many more who do that from time to time. These cards arrive in times of sickness, loss of a loved one's surgeries or other kind of cancer treatments or things. But they don't just arrive in difficult times. They arrive at births and birthdays, marriages, anniversaries, retirements, other happy events. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." On behalf of the elders, I want to thank you for your kindness and for the expression of love that you showed to those of this family at Decatur and then those of outside of our family.
Like many congregations, we began the year of 2020 with an optimistic vision. Many of us even turned it into a gimmick of we're going to have 2020 vision. Part of the vision that we had here was a unified evangelistic effort in our community. And in January, Eric Chaney and David Fanning approached our leadership here at Decatur and said, "Let's have a multi-congregational tent meeting on the 31 South property." And when the idea set in, we were excited about the project, excited about the opportunity, and agreed to host it in April, but it was later rescheduled in August. Navigating the 2020 pandemic obstacle course that presented itself to us, flyers were distributed, and social media was harnessed to the best of our ability to spread the word to area congregations and the Decatur-Morgan community. We utilized FM transmitters and other things such as speaker systems and internet live streaming. We averaged about 60 cars a night. I don't know if you've heard this, but about 60 vehicles per night were there every night. We had a range of 100 to 200 people watching live streaming at that given moment in time. And we know of at least one soul who is rededicated to the Lord through these particular efforts. And because of God's word being glorified, we do not know what else may have come as a result. For who knows what your relationship is between you and God. And we hope that efforts continue. This, however, was not the only outreach effort that utilized the property on 31 South. It almost seemed like this triggered a series of events because the next month in October, we had the Jeeps for Jesus. And then in the next month in November, we hosted a community prayer service out on the 31 South property in anticipation of the election and the political atmosphere that has arisen in our country. I would like to personally thank each and every one of you who have helped organize, facilitate, and make these opportunities a reality. I believe they speak volumes to our community because we're trying to put what is important first, and that is God and His Word. And may God be glorified through these efforts and the many more to come.
One of the things that young people who grow up in the church typically get used to hearing is the idea, the phrase that you guys are the church of the future. And then those people are typically corrected by others who will say, no, they're the church of today. Well, our vision for 2021 and was something that we started to try to communicate during the time that Rachel and I were here this past year is that while there is truth and there are good intentions behind the phrases that young people are a part of the church of the future, that they're a part of the church of today, something that we wanted to communicate is that more importantly, young people are a part of the church. End of sentence, period. And so one of the things as members of the church of today, the church of the future, whatever you want to call it, as members of the church, our vision for these young people is that they will dedicate themselves to doing what the church was called to do, and that is to evangelize. We've got so many ideas and so many visions for next year for these young people, and we want to work with them, but it's all going to be centered around one thing, and that is evangelizing. That is getting the message of God's word and the message of the gospel out into the community. It's also often said about young people that they have more passion, more zeal, more energy, I guess is a better way to phrase it. A lot more energy than maybe some of the older, younger folks. And we want to use that energy. We want to use that zeal in an effort to, again, be the church. One of the fantastic things that we were able to do this past fall as Rachel and I came down in October, one of the things we were able to work with the youth in doing this past fall in 2020 was to get together and with the young people of this congregation and participate in the North Alabama Flag Football Tournament along with six other congregations in the surrounding area. There you see a photo of our team. One of the things that we wanted to use this for was rather than simply focusing on, you know, just trying to win or just having fun, we wanted to use this as an evangelistic outreach ministry. We met twice a week for practices. Of course, we participated in the tournament on November the 21st. But one of the things, again, that we wanted to do was to reach out to those who were outside of the church. And we saw many seeds that were being planted, even though the event only lasted one day and the practices only lasted several months. There were consistently three non-Christians that were in attendance for the practices. There are three of them that are on the screen this morning. Three of them were regular attendees for practice, and several of them even stayed for worship services. And in fact, two additional Bible studies outside of practice or outside of worship times were also produced as a result of this flag football opportunity. We are very excited this year to continue this outreach opportunity, but rather than making it a once a year event, our vision is to make this something that happens monthly, where we can get together with surrounding congregations and get our youth together to play flag football together. But the plan will be, once again, for our young people to use this as an evangelistic outreach as we continue to try to reach non-members of the Church of Christ through this outlet, with the requirement being that if they choose to participate with us, that they also come to worship service, that they also attend Bible studies with us. Our prayer is that more seeds will be planted, that we can water those seeds, and that God will give the increase. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 perfectly sums up this particular ministry that we were involved in. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, in which Paul says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come." I would also encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, where Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." It is so critical that we instill in these young people that just as we run a race or compete in anything, in order to win, we have to discipline ourselves. So we must also do with our Christian walk. You don't win a race by osmosis. You don't win first place simply by showing up. In the same way, our Christian life, if we truly want to finish the race and finish the race with the prize at the end of that being heaven, we must discipline ourselves and we must continue to reflect Christ in everything we do. At our first devotional together last year when Rachel and I came down here, I challenged every single one of these young people with something for 2021 that I wanted them to work on. And that challenge was to convert one soul to Christ. Each individual, one soul, converted to Christ over the next year. That was our challenge to them. And this morning, as we look forward to 2021 and reflect on 2020, our question for you, myself, and the youth together is, will you take on that challenge with us?
...2020 for disaster relief started out very interesting. It started out in January in the middle of winter. We had a tornado that hit Joppa, Alabama. We packed up. We went. It happened to be the anniversary of Tony Watts' birthday. So we made a day in January that we were just going to go out and serve. So that was a pretty neat thing. And it was kind of normal routine. Go out, help cut trees off houses, try to set up Bible studies, get with people if we can. And then a few months later, COVID hit, and Tishomingo, Mississippi was slammed by a pretty large tornado, an EF3. I called our elders to say, "Hey, can we go?" And they hesitantly said, "We've got COVID. You realize that, right?" And of course, I don't always think out all the details, but I said, "Listen, I said, if you're told to be in a stay-at-home order and your house is gone, how do you stay at home? And if nobody comes to help because they're all at a stay-at-home order, what do you do?" And I said, I don't want to be unwise. What if we agree that we stay in the yard? We don't make physical contact with anybody that didn't leave in our truck. And if we climb on a roof, we climb on our own ladder so we're not touching someone else's and exposing ourselves to things. Our elders' first concern was for our families. And said, be wise, be smart. Don't put your families at risk. How blessed is it to be with an eldership that leads us that way? And then they said, you know what? We'll pray and then go help others. So we packed up and we went to Tishomingo, Mississippi. 2020, even in the midst of COVID, had 13 trips to help others. It set up 123 Bible studies. Those Bible studies would then be reciprocated and handed off to the local congregations that we worked with. 123 Bible studies. Six of those Bible studies are here in our own community, because when there's not a storm, we go out and use our truck and trailer as a service to help other people. Whether that's mowing a yard for someone that can't afford for care, whether that's helping our own memberships by just catching up and helping people through COVID, or whether that's helping people with projects that they need done that are needed, not just wants. We go out in our own community and do that. Six of those studies were right here in Decatur. Two of those studies are still ongoing. Each congregation that was left with a Bible study to continue is still involved in it. We highlighted this ministry 2 years ago at the Little Mountain Ministry Camp. We spend one day at the camp where we just simply talk about a special ministry. Well, we highlighted 2 years ago when Grant Street was over it. Since then, 26 people through that camp have been involved in the disaster relief ministry with our truck and trailer alongside the Nashville truck and trailer as they travel to different areas. Some of those have crossed many state lines, leaving the state of Kentucky to go all the way to Louisiana because they watch our social media and they want to serve the Lord. So they say, wherever you go, let us know. We'll meet you when we get there and we'll work together. Those Bible studies are studies that have been set up and carried out from some of those members, from some of those individuals. But they've all resulted because of the efforts that are being made here at the Decatur Church of Christ for the disaster relief program that we're in. So many people suffer every year during disasters, and we are blessed to be some of the ones that answer the call to go and help as quickly as we can and as efficiently as we can. We amped up our efforts a little bit more throughout the past year. Instead of just being by ourselves on it, we started what we're calling Project Unify. We sold one truck and purchased another out of solid donations that were all given for the purchasing of that truck. We then added in a few other congregations, Christful Church of Christ, supplying all of our evangelistic resources so that we could give out Bibles. Every person we help receives a Bible. We've also added in the Hartsel Church of Christ, who provides roofing materials, the Flint Church of Christ, who provides all of our cleaning supplies. So when we get ready to leave, all of these congregations start adding things to the trailer and adding things to the truck as resources to help others with. I do want to say this as well. Besides the new truck that we use for disaster relief, we added the Burning Bush Fire Department truck that is in our bus barn. Last year, its sole purpose is going to be evangelistic reasons for 2021, to go out into the community to be involved as soon as we're allowed to through COVID. Last year alone, it made two large deliveries to the hospitals, to the frontline workers, to help people that were serving us through the COVID pandemic. It also spent time providing families that you had donated to for their Christmases. It delivered, and little kids with huge eyes got to come outside, and as presents were being delivered for Christmas, they got to explore this fire truck. They got to hear about Jesus. They got to hear stories about biblical characters and how that relates to the excitement of a fire truck. We're still in contact with those families, and hopefully we'll see them here one day. Also, this congregation made a large donation this past year to the Little Mountain Ministry Camp, where there were 26 of those people that had helped with our disaster relief program. That donation has made it possible that 10 of our own members went last year. Four of our members now have calendar projects that once COVID-19 is gone, they have brought those projects home. And once this virus is out of the way, you'll get to see our young people hosting events with Bible studies, devotionals, and evangelistic outreach opportunities for each one of us to be involved in.
As we continue, we had a fall festival this year. I want to read Romans 14, 5 through 9. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. I'm amazed that families will dress up like they do to come get a piece of candy. But we had an opportunity. Over 1,000 people came through our trunk or treat this year. We were able to interact with them, talk to them. We even sent letters to all these people to have an opportunity to let them know about the love of Christ. Another thing that we did, in James 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I don't know how many of you know that we support regularly Child Haven Children's Home. We support Agape of North Alabama. This year, we even added another Potter's Children's Home, came here, and many of you gave to them, even above and beyond your contribution. What a blessing it's been for us as a family to be able to help those children. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I think Cody and Robert probably both mentioned the church at Priceville. Priceville was in need of having some transportation to some school kids that needed transportation there, and they had some interaction with them. So we had the third bus here that came over from Grant Street, and we gave the Priceville congregation that bus to where they can have an opportunity to share Christ with some school kids. The last thing I want to talk about is our buildings and grounds. In Colossians 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. We have such great facilities here at Decatur, and I've just been overwhelmed by so many of you that have helped. Many of you know that we redid the landscaping outside. Mitchell and Carol Etheridge helped tremendously on that, but so many others helped with putting the new bark out and redoing the beds and the flowers. This is ours. This is our family's place that we come to worship. And we want it to be a light to this community, knowing that this is what we come to, and we're proud of it. And so we're thankful for all those that have helped with that. I don't know how many of you have noticed, Randall has built a, what do we call it, the gathering place? Place out here, a gazebo type thing. I think Tim and Daniel did the fire pit that's out there, and we've got some more work we're going to do on that to have a place for any of us to use those things here in our facilities. So we're thankful for that. There's a project that's started in the annex for our youth called The Loft, and we're thankful for Randall heading that up. This past year, I don't know how many of you have been down the hallways on the south end of the building. The elders' conference room was renovated. There has been an archive hallway down the south end. If you haven't been down there, go down there and look at the things that's been done to show the history of the Grant Street congregation and the Austinville congregation, and it brings us together just down that hallway. If you get a chance, go down there. We're also in the process of redoing the south end. You know, when we came together, we redid all the bridge area, and we didn't concentrate on the south end. And so we're working on that, getting some painting done, and the carpet's supposed to be new carpet put in the next couple of weeks. And so we're thankful for that. How many of you noticed anything different coming in the foyer this morning? Raise your hand if you noticed anything different in the foyer this morning. All right. More than I thought would. We had a great group of people this past week that painted our foyer. They volunteered to do that. That's giving. Do you know how much that would have cost if we'd hired somebody to have done that? If I were guessing, I would say it would be quite a bit of money. And yet we had people that were willing to volunteer to come up here in a couple of days and work very hard to get that done. We're thankful for all of them. Alan Diller told me this morning that we've got a man coming real soon to fix our thermostat to where we won't be cold in here on Sunday morning. So there's just so many things going and so many people doing so many things. We're just so thankful. I'm just so thankful to be a part of this congregation. Can you imagine what all these few men have talked about this morning that we've done in a year when there was a pandemic? You have worked very hard, and we're so thankful. If you haven't found something that you want to get involved with, please look for something. There's always something going on that we need help with, and you've just been a blessing to us. Thank you. Thank you, congregation.
How many times did we write down how long each one of them was up there? You did good. And as John mentioned, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, how that Paul, when he was meeting that last time with the elders from the church at Ephesus, he reminded them how that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then when Peter, in talking with Cornelius and his family, another momentous occasion in that that was the first true Gentile family converted to the truth, he reminded them in Acts chapter 10, around verse 38, how that Jesus went about doing good. And if nothing else we get from this morning, as a family, we have done good. Perfect? Of course not. If this was a perfect congregation, number one, I wouldn't be the preacher. And number two, you wouldn't be in the pew. Because when either one of us walked in the door and became a part of this congregation, it quit being perfect right then. Because there's no one perfect. However, we serve a perfect Lord, Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And as we strive to follow 1 Peter 2:21 in His footsteps, we reach out. We reach in to edify and build up, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. But the purpose of the building up inwardly is so that we can have the wherewithal, the strength, the knowledge, the ability to reach out. Because the ultimate purpose of the Lord's church, according to Paul writing again to those folks at Ephesus around chapter 3, is to make known the multifaceted or many-sided or manifold wisdom of God in a lost and dying world. A lot of the things that we accomplished as a family in 2020, in fact, all of them in reality, had as their ultimate purpose, whether it was from the snack bags for the school kids, the blessing bags, the flag football team, all of that, the ultimate purpose of any of it was to help people who are walking in darkness to see the light of the love of God. You have been shown that light. Most everyone in here has responded and come to that light. Maybe there's somebody here today that hasn't, that still needs to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin. You know, we help through World Bible School in Malawi and the Sakura Garden, and we send Bibles to China, and we help build that building in Vietnam. Why? Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we take it for granted, but there are countries, as we should be well aware in this world, where just hearing the truth is almost impossible. We have sent things, money and materials to places where it's difficult, to try to help as many as we can hear the truth. And we've reached out in our community, and we reach out every Lord's Day to this small community. And if anyone here needs to respond, to be born into God's family, to be a part of the exciting work and labor of love and faith that we intend, in which we intend to be involved in this calendar year, and for as long as we can, for that matter, then if that's something that you want to be a part of, just come down front. We can assist, and you can be baptized into Christ, added to His family, which is the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, 1 Timothy 3:15. Or as a child of God, perhaps as we've listened to the various things, and this isn't everything, but these are highlights of things that have been accomplished by this family. Perhaps one of us has been sitting there thinking, I don't recall being involved in any of that. Fix it. Ask God's help where you sit, or if coming down front and having all of us to pray. We don't need to know the details, but believe in the power of prayer and the power of love and the work and effort of faith, and we will accomplish even more in this calendar year than we did in the past, and we will continue, because what God intends, I have no doubt, is for His people to grow and to glow as lights in a sin-darkened world. If a response would help with that, just come down front in trusting obedience while we stand and sing.